Amen. So good to be back. Really have been enjoying his presence, his word, this season that we've been in. And we've kind of been in the last couple of weeks anyway about wholeness and talking about healing and getting into that wholeness. And I'll have to be honest with you. When I left here last Sunday, I felt like the Lord put in my heart exactly what I was going to speak on today. That don't happen very often for me. Usually I'm all over the place, and finally about Thursday or so, I start narrowing in on where I think I'm going to preach in, but it's usually Saturday morning where I think, oh, yeah, that's where I'm really going to preach, because that's just kind of the way I'm kind of, well, if you haven't noticed, I'm a little all over the place. And actually, this was just my assignment. I just really felt like that. I felt like there's occasionally that happens to me. The Lord would give me a little portion of Scripture, and I wasn't even reading. It's just the thoughts and the story come in my mind. Actually, as we drove home, and I didn't get into it really till Monday morning, and I didn't get into it a lot then because I had Wednesday coming, and I'm one of them guys, it's hard for me to do one thing, but one thing at a time, you know. So I had to really wait till Wednesday to get beyond and then get into it, but I felt like this was my assignment, and I come with all confidence in that today. And it's still in those lines with wholeness, but it's wholeness in another word. It's wholeness in another way to experience wholeness, I believe. And I just feel like if we've left anything unturned or anything unsaid over these last couple weeks, I feel like maybe we'll finish that today. So really excited about it, looking forward to it. I believe it to bless somebody. Is this an awesome spirit in here or what? Is this just good? Man, I appreciate you, Wayne. I can't get over your story. I can't help it. I just like to shout. I just sent over a while ago, and I think I even startled some of you because the music wasn't even really going yet, and I was like, yeah! But I was in my own little world there. I was like thinking about what God's done for Wayne, and I was just saying. And then Tony gave me a good testimony this morning, too, about how God's healed in his life this week and just done a cleansing and a work. And it's just, man, it's just exciting. It's just his word alive. It's his word working. It's just our God. He's not dead. He's just good, man. It's a good time. It's a good time to be a preacher. Amen. Amen. So I'm excited about this morning. I want to share this little piece of word with you. This morning, it's a little story out of Mark chapter 8, and it's just about five verses, verse 22, starting with verse 22. Mark 8, starting with verse 22, and we'll read about five or six verses, and then we'll have prayer. And I'll just share a couple things out of this story. But the Bible says it like this. If I give you time to get there in your Bible, if you like, and what have you. But as you do that, something did come in my heart this weekend. Me and Cindy was watching the news. We usually don't watch a lot of news, but I try to, especially now there was so much happening. And what was really on my mind was when Saturday morning, I knew they had that thing in Germany again. I mean, it's every other day there's just some kind of tragic. I mean, we're not talking about small things, but big things going on, things that should get our attention. And they was talking, so I wanted to see if they had heard anything more about that. Well, we turned the news on and early yesterday morning, and we're sitting there watching, and the president was giving a speech, and I'm not bashing him or nothing like that. You know, I don't do that because I know I'm supposed to pray for him and all that. But he had this speech, and some of y'all might have heard it. But this is what caught my ear. It caught my spirit. It caught my spirit. And I only share it for that reason. But he said this in his speech, and I think it was in response, like I said, because I don't even know the context, but I think it was in response to like the convention with the Republicans this week. I think he was responding to a lot of the stuff that they were saying. But this is what he said. This is the part that caught my ear anyway. And he said a lot of other things, but I don't listen to a lot of stuff sometimes. But this is what caught my ear. I think it was a God moment. He said, never has our world been more safer. He said that. He said, mankind has never had a safer place to live in than right now. Did anybody else hear that? I see a few of you. A few of you heard that. He said that. And immediately my spirit just exploded. And really because of what I've even been preaching to out of Jeremiah last week about they shall say, peace, peace, and there is no peace. And then I thought about what Paul said. Paul told us that. When they say peace and safety, that's the only reason I'm bringing this up. When they say peace and safety, you better watch. The day of the Lord, sudden destruction. It said hand. So just put that in your spirit and know that we're already, and you know what? And I can't fathom any context at all where you could say the hour we're living in now is the safest hour ever. I just can't. And but see, this comes from a 50-year-old, well, 53, I have to tell the truth. This comes from a 53-year-old, almost 54. No, almost 53. I don't know. How old are we, Kathy? 53. Go be okay. That's awful. But this comes from a 53-year-old that remembers what it was like when he grew up in a farmhouse that didn't even have locks. It didn't even have locks till the 80s. That was a safe time. Right now, it's this political spin, it's this spiritual spin, whatever you want to call it, that cries peace and safety. And there is none. So don't you believe that stuff. You better open up your eyes and lift up your head, because our redemption draws nigh. I say, our Lord is coming. He's coming. He's soon coming, y'all. I know I could have preached on this, but it wasn't my assignment. That's what I told the Lord. I said, I'd like to preach on that right there, but I would have probably got wronged. I mean, I would have probably did some wrong things just because of what I was like, good day. But let that get in your spirit. You better be lifting up your head. Amen. Amen. Mark 8, are you there now? Somebody said, preach on that, brother. Preach on that. Listen, and he kept talking about Jesus. Talking about Jesus. Jesus cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. And they besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him. And he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up, and he said, I see men as trees walking. After that, Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored. And he saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go back into this town nor tell anybody in the town. Amen. If you want to pray, you can. If you want to lift your hands, whatever you're comfortable with. But let's pray. Pray for each other this morning. Lay your hand on your neighbor and on each other, or hold hands even. I just feel a special day. I feel a special day. I just believe God to do great things. And that's even what I pray right now, God. I pray that you do great things in this service today. I pray you do a great work, and you just minister and pour out, and bless, touch, and anoint, Lord. Everybody that's in this house today, but especially those that are beat up and those that are beat down and those that are struggling, Lord, even with this wholeness message, with this restoration, dear God, Lord, flow out. Let your anointing continue to work and to flow just as it has, even in our worship, dear God, even in our praise, even in the testimonies of Wayne this morning, just and everything that you've done, Lord, bless and move in just a special way. Lord, touch every heart and every life, Lord. In this service today, draw us closer to you. In this service today, if there be anything between us and you. In this service today, Lord, if there be those here that don't call you Lord and Savior, Lord, let this be the day. Let this be the day. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. All the glory is yours. All the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And all this Walton Church this morning agreed and said,
amen.
And then they give him praise and honor and glory and lifted him up because he's the greatest there ever was. Oh, praise his name. Hey, amen, amen, and amen, amen. Like I said, we've been kind of dealing with wholeness, but I want to take it to, as the Lord kind of give me this as my subject, to give it as my appointment, I want to kind of take this to another level, give us another mindset, because sometimes maybe in certain words, you lose even certain people or you lose certain ideas. And I believe when the Lord put this upon my heart even last week to begin to unearth it a little bit and to get an understanding on it, I believe this word that we find what Jesus did to this man would fit a whole lot better, even what we've been talking about this morning. Now, it's wholeness. It's still wholeness. What we've been talking about the last couple of weeks is it's still healing. And it's still searching for this wholeness through healing. But I love the word that he used. He used the word, he restored him. I just like that. Because that fits my thinking. It fits kind of my view of some things. I know a lot of y'all, you know, you deal maybe in restoration of certain things. And sometimes now, even in that view, your view might be skewed a little bit. Because sometimes restoration, it still don't look as good as, you know, as the original. But that's the idea. It's about bringing back to an original. Bringing it back to like new. It's like bringing it back. It's a restoration. Now, like a lot of y'all fool with cars and various things. And I've always liked cars too and different things. And we understand the restoration view on that and what on. A lot of times the restoration looks better than it did when it come from the factory. I mean, it really does. You're like, good day. But now sometimes, depending on who's done it, that ain't so maybe. But this idea with Christ restored, I want to guarantee you, it's like brand new. It's like brand new. It's good as new. It's back to an original form. And I like this idea of restoration because it kind of fits with the idea of how our life is and how our life needs restoring. Because we might come off the showroom floor looking brand new. You know, we might come out of the gate with that new car smell, that new car look. But let me just tell you what, we've been drove pretty hard sometimes. It's been some hard things. We've been driven pretty hard. We've been around a few old mountain roads, through a few old potholes. We've been through some rough times, some various things that's left us sometimes beat up, tore up. Some of us has plumb crashed life. Anyway. We've wrecked life more than one time. As a matter of fact, we might even come away thinking that this is just a total loss. This is just, but I'm going to tell you what, this wholeness that I've been trying to talk about, I think this is what the Lord really wants to emphasize. This is the restoration that he means that you can have on your life. No matter how beat up, no matter how tore up. And this morning, I want to talk to you about, just real quickly, about the journey to restoration. Because that's what this, when the Lord put this in my heart, give me this as my assignment, I said, the way I see it, I said, Lord, show me a journey to restoration, because that's what this was. This is a practical lesson. This was a story that truly happened. This truly happened in the life of Christ, but taking it to a spiritual level, he walked a man. And though it was a short time maybe in his life, but he walked a man, which sometimes we need maybe in a long time, a journey. It's a journey. Because I've been learned this. We are all the time in need of restoration. When we leave here this morning, we might feel like brand new. And I know my brother Tony was telling me how he felt so new and so cleansed and so fresh. And that's the way, that's restoration. But you know what? Life continues on. Unless you've drove into heaven. And I'm looking upon some of you, you're not. And some of you's asleep at the wheel right now, so wake up. Come follow me now. You got this life still to journey, and you're gonna have more trouble. You're gonna have more bang up, burnouts, burn up, rust outs, hang ups. You're gonna have more crashes. So I want you this morning, if you'll just walk with me with this journey to restoration, and use it in your life this morning. I believe the Lord to bless with it. I want you to notice in verse 22, go back to verse 22 just for a minute. But in verse 22, the Bible says it's about Jesus. And I wouldn't even bring this out. I don't play a lot on words, but the Bible says he came to Bethsaida. And the only reason I bring that out is that I think there's some importance in that, because Bethsaida, it don't got a lot of claim to fame. It ain't got a lot of hype about it, but Bethsaida was known really for one thing, and that's kind of a woe that Jesus pronounced on it. Jesus, in Matthew 11 and I believe 21, he pronounced a woe on it, and he said, woe unto Chorazin, or however how they say that, and Bethsaida, because if the mighty things that had been done in Sidon and Tyre had been done in you, they would have already repented. In other words, Bethsaida was known for its unbelief, was known for not being affected by the power of God or by the mighty things. That's like this morning. We share these testimonies. That affects me. I don't just get excited because of, but it affects me because of what God's done and what his hand has done and how I know the situations and I know how dire they were. But God, his power, it affects me. I'm not in unbelief. I don't just chalk it up to whatever, but I believe. And here's the whole gist of him coming. He come to Bethsaida. He comes to our places of unbelief. That's what I wanted you to get out of. He does. Every one of us in this journey, because you're going to need him to do that, because some of you, when you crash, you're laying there, you're crashed, and you're there in unbelief. It's a crash that leaves you in unbelief. It's a crash that leaves you in doubt. It's a crash that leaves you as cynical and sarcastic and cynical. Because some of these things that happened in our life, we're like, you even question that. And you know I'm telling the truth. You go, how could it even be God? How could God allow this? Or how could this even happen if I'm serving God? And what's happened? You've crashed in Bethsaida. That's where we're at. And I think that's why this is important. That Jesus, he comes. Ain't you glad that Jesus comes to where we crash? Ain't you glad that he comes right to where we crash? We don't have to try to work it out with him, but he comes and meets us right where we are. All through the Bible, it's like that. When Moses was struggling, a crash life, 40 years of a wilderness walk, 40 years crashed, derailed, wrecked. I'll plumb off his vision, plumb off his dream, plumb off his purpose. No hope of ever fulfilling what God had put in his heart as a young man. There you find God. There you find God in a burning bush. Come right to where Moses' unbelief was and begin to stir in him and to bring faith out of a burning bush. Or Joshua, who's struggling with how are we going to take this city? How are we going to take Jericho? How are we going to do that? And God, as dressed as a warrior, shows up and tells him that I'm with you. I'm with you, Joshua. I'm with you. Right in his unbelief. Or even like the woman at the well who was in Samaria with a crashed out life. Crashed plumb out. And he makes it his purpose to go to where this woman sits on a well, right in her unbelief. So mixed up, she wasn't even sure what mountain we're supposed to be praying in. So confused over religion, so confused over the thoughts of how to even get right and to get headed out again. So messed up. Oh, but that's where you'll find our Jesus. Amen. He don't mind walking into your unbelief. Your unbelief don't scare him. Your unbelief don't fret him. Your unbelief don't worry him. He'll walk right in and say, if you drink of the water I give you, amen, you'll never thirst again. Amen. He ain't fretted by it. Or if you're the one out of 100 that's went away, you'll leave the 99. Hey! Come to your Bethsaida. So the journey for restoration really begins with God. That ought to be some good news up in this church house. The journey begins with God coming to right where you're at. Right in the midst of your unbelief. Right in, just like he said, when we didn't even love him, he loved us. The journey begins with him coming to where we're at, whatever part of our life is suffering, whatever part of our life is struggling in unbelief. Here today at Walton PH Church, I just want to tell you something. He's come to our Bethsaida. He's come. He's come for whatever area of our life that needs restoring. If you're sitting here this morning, you're struggling with restoration ideas. You're struggling with the idea that God can renew. You're struggling with the idea that God can do this again. You're struggling with all that maybe. That's all right. Our Jesus has come to the crash site. Amen. 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 He goes on and he says, he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind. I'm not going to preach on this, but ain't you glad that there's some people sometimes that are compassionate and love enough that encourage. Maybe some of y'all are here now because of they. Maybe some of y'all are here today because they said, come on to this church, come on to this place, come on, see if you can get some help. Come on. Ain't you glad there's some they that have enough compassion to try to bring you a little closer? I'm very thankful for that this morning. They brought this blind man, and even basalt, they stood in and interceded. Wayne, that's what we did down there that Wednesday morning, is We just basalt. We didn't have no power in ourselves. We didn't have no strength in ourselves. I felt I had a heart for what Tammy was going through. I had compassion for Wayne. And you know what? All we could do at that time was to seek God on his behalf. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, though, that they besought. They besought. Verse 23, besought that he would touch him. We want you to touch him, Jesus. And listen to what he does. He took the blind man by the hand, and he began to lead him. He took him by the hand and began to lead him out of the city. Began to lead him out of the city, out of the town. Began to lead him. Ain't that where the journey now begins? It begins, of course, with Jesus coming to where we are in our unbelief. But then it comes with him making contact, him connecting, him touching, grabbing the blind man by the hand, and beginning to lead. Boy, ain't it true this morning that it begins with Christ and his connection, his touch, what he begins to do, how he begins to reach out. I like how this narrative goes, though. But it says, and in Christ began to lead him out. He began to lead him out. And it was because it was Bethsaida. It was a place, it was a culture, it was an environment of unbelief. It was like Nazareth. Remember, and the Bible says that Jesus could do not many mighty works there, just a few sick folk healed. Why? Because of their unbelief. So we're gonna take him out of this culture, out of this atmosphere, out of this environment. We're gonna lead him. We're gonna bring him out of here. Sometimes there's some things you got to come out of. Sometimes in this connection, in this touch, he's trying to lead us out of some places, out of some Mercedes. Sometimes he's trying to lead us. I look back over my whole life. That's what it's been. It's been God. It's been God touching me in such a way, even in the beginning, even in the very beginning, in the very, very outset of my experience with God. It was like that. He touched me. There was this connection that I could not deny, that God had touched, that had awakened me. And I was like, and this is how I knew, because this is different. Amen. This ain't life. This just ain't church. This ain't where I sit up and nod and sleep and wish 12 would get here and all that. I'd been touched. And in that connection, in that even I guess even expectation come out of that, but in that connection, in that church, then he began to lead. Because you know what? I was nowhere near restoration where I was at. I needed to be led out of some things. I needed to be led out of some cultures, out of some environments, out of some mindsets. I needed to be led away from some various things, some various ideas. I like the way God in my early Christian life, God led me plumb off of Creek Street, away from all my family, well, my side, all my friends, all the culture that I was used to. My whole valley, my whole comfort zone, took me off to Floyd. Paul used to ask me the other day, how in the heck did I end up in Indian Valley? It's because God led me. He found me in Bethsaida, and we connected, and he began to lead me. Amen. So that's how some of y'all ended up here. You ain't got no idea how you ended up in such a crazy church with such a hillbilly preacher. You still ain't figured it out. You ain't got no idea. Well, let me just tell you, God touched you and he connected with you and he began to lead you. Because you know what? It's about restoration. It's about where you can get the restoring done, where you can get a makeover and a paint job and an uplift and a build up and get you on your journey again. Woo! I remember, y'all remember little Juan and Luce that used to come here years ago? There was a little Puerto Rican couple who was looking for another church and ended up here. Hey, it was the weirdest little deal. Sweetest little couple you ever did see. They spoke just real, real faint English even. But they ended up here, and they just grinned. That's all we do with each other. We just grin. And we chalked it up in the beginning that they just got lost and got here. But they stayed till they finished their college, and they was going to tech at school. And when they finished their college, of course, they went back to Puerto Rico. But we chalked it up at first that they just got lost there. But I'm just going to tell you what, God connected. God, because she went through a very sick time in her life where I believe that God had her exactly where she needed to be, right amongst people that would minister and nourish and bring healing to her and her family and just help her. But whatever the case is, he's got to lead. And I believe he's got to lead sometimes. He's got to get you away from those cultures of unbelief, those cultures of cynicism. I remember when the Lord brought me to a Pentecostal hall in his church. Because, see, I didn't even want to go home, and I didn't. I didn't even tell my family what church I went to that week. Because it was a culture, a negative culture. Because I was told as a kid, don't you ever go around them churches. They're crazy. How many know when you're 6 and 7 and you hear that stuff, it sticks? I like crazy. Like how? And I was told all the things that I do. I had somebody actually was interested in, I talked to, had a meeting with somebody this week, and they're interested in coming to church, and they're from a whole different background, a whole different denomination, but they really are feeding on some things that's coming out of this church, and they're really interested in coming, and I think their debut is going to be on Park Day, actually, because it's a safer day and all that, and I said, well, I just got to warn you, the day you show up, we'll probably go off. But I tell her, I said, if we don't go off, you needed us to go off. Hey, because God's leading. And it's a family that needs restoration. It's a family that needs to be brought back to a place like new. So ain't that how God does? He comes to us. He comes where we're at because he's not willing to leave us there. And not only is he not willing to leave us there, he wants to lead us out of that place to somewhere where we can receive what we need. The restoration, the work, the wholeness. So long story short, really sometimes you just need to let him lead you out of some of these things. Because some of you's not getting restoration because you're not letting him lead you out of some of these things. Come on. Not letting him lead you out of some of the unbelief. Go on, just believe God. I just tell you, don't believe everything. No, I'm not saying believe everything. I'm going to tell you what, if it's in that book, go on, believe it. If you ain't experienced it, I don't care. Still believe it. There's a whole lot of things in that book I ain't experienced, but you know what? I believe every word of it. And I tell you what, I believe it could happen to me about any time if the Lord will, if it's his heart, if his idea. A lot of things I ain't experienced, a lot of things I ain't done. And I'm going to have to leave this world without doing, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'll stand up and preach every word of it, every jot of it, every title of it. I'll not hedge, I'll not back up. Yes, I believe, Lord, yes. Come on, somebody. I just believe that this morning. Do I believe everybody's got to do this or everybody's got to? No, no, let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord lead you.
Amen.
Let the Lord lead you. Let him lead you to a place where we can have some restoration. Let him lead us into these places where he can work. He can work in you and on you and for you. Because there is some places in our life, whether you want to admit it or not, he can't work because we ain't let him lead us out of them. We stay in those that same old fleshly or humanistic or religious or whatever they are, ideas, and he can't work. I tell you, if this church is just full of people this morning with a heart that says he can work this morning, he can work.
Amen.
He can work. He can work. I like what he does here, though. Look, verse 23, it goes on. He led him out, and listen to what he did. Now, I know this is odd, ain't it? And some of y'all have read this story before and you've heard these things, but when he spit on his eyes, and he's not talking about like when I do, when I'm preaching and I spit all over y'all. Because I spit in some of y'all's eyes sometime before too. Some of y'all wear glasses and you don't even need them. You just wear them because I spit in you. Keep on spitting in your eyes. Because I get rambunctious and boy, she flies sometimes. But that's not what Jesus wasn't preaching. And this is not something that I'm going to pray. I'm going to tell you what. God's going to have to really move in a mighty way before my old brother Lee ever tries anything like this. I guarantee you, if I ever get you up and do that to you, you can guarantee it was God or I've went plumb off the rocker one. can tell you that right now, because that's stout, ain't it? But I think there's point in this. It's not the point that he spit. And I don't think God wants us to be the first church of the spitters. I don't think we designate that as part of our healing practice. I mean, everybody get up, and pastor's gonna come through and spit in your eye now. I just don't think God wants us to do that. How about y'all? Any takers? I just don't believe that's part of it. I think it's principle in it. And the principle and the thought in it really is this, that God does things. God's got things in this journey to restoration. Here's the whole idea. In this journey to restoration, God sometimes works in ways that's not suitable to us. Ways that we don't care for. Ways that don't go with our flow. Ways that we would question. Ways that we think it's not possible that could work. That's not even right. But in the process and in the work of this restoration, I just believe that sometimes, God handles in his working sometimes, he works in ways sometimes that takes us beyond even what we think is possible, beyond what we think should be reasonable. I mean, he spit in the guy. Eyes. He works in such a way. And here's kind of my thought on that. If you're going to get restoration, and I'm not talking about from man, I'm not talking about be okay with whatever Brother Lee wants to do to you. I'm talking about whatever way God leads, you got to be okay with. You're going to never have restoration until you're okay with how God's wanting to lead you. If he's wanting to lead you in a certain way, if he's wanting to work in a certain way, and see, it's not just spit. I know ain't nobody in here, you understand. We're not okay with that. But there's a whole lot of things God's trying to do in our life. It's not spit. Because see, God tries to lead us to restoration through repentance. How about that? And see, here's the thing. A lot of times we ain't okay with that. We ain't okay with being sorry. We ain't okay with making 180. We ain't we want restoration. We want the shiny paint job. But we wanna still drive around the same old place we've been driving. And God's not okay with that. And that's not his means. Sometimes his means is the crucifying of the flesh and the killing off of the self or the denying of self or the taking up of the cross and denying ourselves daily. Sometimes that's God's means for restoration. You don't have restoration because you're not okay with that. We're just not okay with that. I'm just not okay with this crucifying of this particular. My flesh wants it. My flesh desires it. And we're just not okay with that. Well, we're not going to ever find the restoration because this is part of the journey. The journey is him showing up in our unbelief or our crash site, him touching us, connecting with us, and beginning to lead. And the very first place he comes to in this leading of us out of town is a place called we got to be okay with whatever's next from God. Amen. Oh, that's the gospel. It's the gospel story. Whatever's next. It's like when God comes to us and he tells you to forgive. And you'll have restoration. Forgive her, forgive him, forgive them. And he's not, on this journey into restoration, he's not open to debate about, well, God, you know what all they did and what all she did and what all they've been doing, and you know how right I am. That's not part of the restoration. The restoration is you got to be okay with forgiving. Whatever he calls it. It's like old Naaman. You remember the old Naaman who was the great general in 2 Kings chapter 9? And he was all these honorable and he was great and he was applauded and he was everything, but he was a leper and they didn't know what to do because he was dying with this leper. See, and this little Hebrew girl said, I know a man who knows what to do. And he sent him to Elisha and they brung him to Elisha. Elisha didn't even come out, but he sent Gehazi, his servant, out to meet him. And Gehazi, out of the instructions of Elisha, told him, my master says, by God, you go and dip 7 times in the old river, far, far, or ever how it's called, and you'll be cleansed. Well, it made him mad. You know why? Because that wasn't suitable. That didn't suit him. That wasn't how he thought this restoration was going to go. He even said, I thought he would even come out. I thought Elisha would either, the prophet would come out and clap his hands or put his hands on me or all the other things that we think that is suitable. And he didn't do it. And he got mad, the Bible says, and he went away wroth, and he was going to get on his horse and ride back to Syria. And his servants said, beckoned him and pleaded with him. He said, come on there, Naaman. If he'd asked you for something real hard, you'd have probably did it. What's up with this? And he said, well, this old River Jordan, I mean, there's rivers back in Syria that's far better than this river. Well, that's not the deal. It's what God demanded. It's what God said was Syria. It was God's mean. It's what he determined. Of course, the story, you know the story. He went in the old dirty River Jordan. He might have went in mad. He might have been like me today. I went to church the first time. He might have went in cussing and carrying on. But he was trudging on. He was doing it. He was being led. He was being led out of his wreck. He was being led out of his wreck. And he was grouchily submitting to what God's means was. And I can see him now, can't you? I know how people are. It's one, two. I can say, mad the whole time. Three, and I can say about five, he ain't a change going on, he ain't nothing going on. He's like, this is stupid. Y'all ever done that? Y'all ever been there? You ever been there and maybe something God had put on you? You think, man, I'm being stupid, I'm being dumb. And you ever been there? This is crazy. About the seventh time, the Bible says he come up refreshed, renewed, restored as new, like a baby's flesh. And that's what it takes, ain't it? It's not about the spit. If I could do anything with my spit, I'd have done a lot of things for y'all. Brother Chris, you'd be so anointed, you ain't no telling what you'd be if it spit really meant anything. I spit on Brother Chris more times than I can shake a stick. It seemed like every time I'd get near him, his spit just fly out. And I didn't mean to. It's just, you know what I mean too. You sit up here with your windshield wipers on. But it's about being okay. I just wonder, if you're going to journey into restoration, are you okay? Now, no lip service. You got to be okay with what God wants to do this morning. And that might be repentance. That might be walking away from something you've been into a long time. It might be something that makes your flesh scream. It might be something you've battled and still hadn't got to do it yet. Oh, but you got to be okay with it. I'll tell you, if you're going to get restoration, I'm talking about wholeness now. Wholeness, if you're really going to be whole, you got to be okay. Because he's the restorer. He's the restorer. Man can put a good paint job on you, but he's the restorer. I think about old race cars. They look good from a stand sometimes, didn't they? They would. They look good from a stand. They look like, man, that's sharp. You get down there, and it looks like 17,000 little hammer marks in the fender before they beat it back out. I just got to where I just take a piece of aluminum and put over the big gap and hole and just paint it again. And from a stand, it looked like, woo-wee. But that ain't God. He's into full restoration. Total restoration. We've got to be okay with what he's wanting to do, what he's wanting to do in our life. Amen. Got to be desperate enough. That's really what it comes down to, because unless you're desperate and you really want restoration, you'll just continue on. Amen. Desperate people, they're okay with whatever God wants to do. Go ahead. Spit right here, Jesus. I tell you, you've been blind long enough. Just come on, put her right there, baby. I said desperate. See, that's the problem, maybe. Maybe we ain't got to the place we're desperate yet. But when you get desperate, you'll walk off from your friends who are a bad influence. You'll walk off from Bethsaida. You'll walk off from habits and vices, and you'll plead, you'll lay on your belly and fast and pray and plead to God to move in your life that you can be free of addictions, free of things. You'll lay on your belly and you'll pray, God, help me not to sin against you. Amen. That's when you're desperate.
Amen.
Amen. I got to close. I always say that, don't I? I do. I always say that. He says, and when he spit in his eye, then he put his hands on him. He put his hands on him. And he asked him if he saw aught. Spit on him, put his hands on him, asked him, what do you see? How do you see? How are you? How you seeing? I just thought about that. How are you this morning? How do you see? How do you see yourself this morning? Do you see as you ought? Are you as you ought to be? How do you see this morning? Put his hands on him. And then this is what he said. Going to the next verse. The Bible says, verse 40. He looked up. This man looked up and he said, I see men walking as trees. I'm glad that stories like this is in the Bible, because sometimes if it weren't for stories like this, I'd come away feeling really deficient a lot in my own life. I'd come away from sometimes. I'm Brother Whitlock, I'm so glad that we have a God who in a moment with earth-shattering speed and anointing can touch us, bam, and make us whole. I'm glad. Over and over I've seen it. I believe that. I believe God works like that. But I just want to tell you, I'm sometimes glad we got little stories like this, because it helps me sometimes when I come up and I don't see as I ought. I come up seeing men as trees. I come up deficient. I come up insufficient. I come up not just partially. I'm going to tell you, it's part of the journey to restoration. Part of the journey. Sometimes they still work to go on. Y'all remember when I preached little by little, little by little, little by little. Sometimes that's the way healing is. Sometimes that's the way even this restoration is. It's little by little. I'm glad. I thank God for the instantaneous, and I always believe him for that. Anytime I pray for somebody, I believe for the instantaneous. But I'm going to tell you what, if we go away from here and it's not been the instantaneous, I guarantee you I'm believing for the progressive. I'm believing for the progress. I'm believing for the process that's ongoing. I'm believing that the work is in hand.
Yeah.
It's the pace of God that's at work. It's the work of God that's at work. It's all part of the process. There's a lot of things that happen speedy. I believe a man gets saved right now. I believe when he bends down on bended knees and he asks Jesus Christ into his heart, bam, I believe he's born again. You can't be born halfway. He's born again. He's thoroughly born again. He's a child of God. But I believe there is some things, and I've experienced it. I've been healed, and I was healed. I was healed this way. I was healed this progressive, this process. I was healed. I come up seeing men as trees. God touched me in that summer night in July and told me I was healed. It was pretty near a year before I was healed. But I had that promise all the way back a year ago. And he's touched me. Woo! Hey! And I seeing men as trees, not as I ought. Matter of fact, I was getting worse. Worse. I wasn't even seeing men as trees. It was all part of the process. It's all part of the pace. All part of the restoration. Hey! Ain't it? I'm so glad this morning that there is this process. The journey is a process. That's why we call this the journey. I want to encourage you here this morning. Bam! If it didn't happen. Bam! Buckle up for the journey. Hey! Go on, buckle up. He's leading you. You follow those ways that maybe even seem unsuitable, but you follow him. Y'all out there? I like this. This is one of my favorite parts. He come up seeing men as trees, verse 25. See, we're almost done. Jesus, we need to be almost done, don't we? And after that, look at that. That's what I like about my Jesus. See, I see men as trees, Jesus. After that, then Jesus put his hands on him again. Right here, I want you to look at this restoration project right here. Wait a minute. I'm going somewhere. I want you to just take a look. I'm not talking about how pretty I am. This restoration job right here, he's had to put his hands on me so many times. I'm one of them, do it again, Jesus people. Hey! I'm one of them guys that I'm all the time telling Jesus, do it again, Jesus, do it again. Put your hands on me again. Because I didn't come up from that first touch perfect. I didn't come up from that first service immaculate. Matter of fact, I could use a little touch this morning, sweet Jesus. I got a few dents in my fenders today. I got a little scrape here, a little scrape there, a little scratch there. Burned a little oil, probably. Woo! Put your hands on me, Jesus, again. That's the journey of restoration. Matter of fact, I'm at the place now, I expect the instant, but I'm okay if you just keep putting your, long as you keep putting your hands on me, Jesus, I'm going to walk this thing out. I'm going to ride this thing out. I'm going to journey this thing out. I'm going to ride this thing right on into heaven. I'm going to ride this thing all the way. Just keep putting your hands on me. Just keep me putting your hands on him. It's the journey. It's part of the journey. It's slow. It's easy. In the journey, he's just got to keep doing it again and again. Are you there? Amen. Now that last verse, and we're going to close. The last verse just simply says, he restored him, and he seen clearly, and Jesus sent him away. Come go to his house. Don't even go back to that city. See, restored. Don't even go back to that place. Don't go to where Jesus led. Don't go back where Jesus led you out of. You know where you got your fenders tore off at? You know where you flipped her upside down? My God in heaven, if the church people would just hear this message right here, if just hear this sentence right here this morning, we could save a lot of heartache. If you quit coming into God's body shop here and getting it all put back together, and would you quit going back to that same place, you keep turning your life upside down. Don't go back, he said. Don't even go back. Let him don't go back. You go back, those same seeds of unbelief, those same seeds that crashed you, those same seeds that got into your heart, that caused the problem, caused you to get derailed to begin with, that's going to do it again. Jordy, come on. I've preached way too long. But it's a journey. It's a journey. I want you to hear that this morning. It's a journey. That's where we're at this morning. We're coming to a place in this journey, even this morning, where God can do instant things. It's a powerful thing about gathering together as believers. He said where two or three are gathered together, they can put hands on and believe, and great things can happen, and we can pray for bodily healing, mental healing, spiritual healing. We can pray for healing of hearts and healing of lives. We can pray for all kinds of things, and he says, there I am in the midst. We can have instantaneous things, but I'm going to tell you what, even beyond that, we can begin the journey. It brings the restoration that lives need, hearts need. Most of us, that's how we live. That's how most of us go. There's some great things that happen in the get-go, but most of us, we live by the journey. By the journey. And you got to be okay this morning with what God wants to do in your life. You might be here this morning. I felt the Lord stir my spirit when I said, you need to be okay with repentance. You need to be okay this morning that he's dictated the way, that you got to call on him. You got to know who you are. You got to know you're a mess. You got to know your life's a mess. You got to know. You got to be okay with that. You can't be keep getting up and saying, oh, I'm good and I'm okay and I got this thing. No, there's no restoration in that. It's just bigger crashes at the end of the road. That's what pride does. You got to be at the place this morning. You're okay with what God's wanting to do. You're okay with repentance. You're okay saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Or I'm a backslider, or I've sinned, or I've failed, or I've come short, or I've been disobedient. I ain't lived my life like you wanted to, or whatever your story is. You got to be okay with being able to come to him and say that and ask him, Lord, restore me. Restore in me. Restore me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Restore. Make it like new, God. Make it as good as new. Make it just like it from the original. Make it new, God. That's what our God does. I got good hope for you here this morning. Your life might be piled up, smoking in ash. Nothing but a few puffs of smoke. He can restore. The only thing he can't restore, and he can do that if he wanted, but we ain't promised that. But the only thing he don't restore is if our life has left this earth. But while we sit here and we got breath, he can restore. Wayne, he restored your life. Showed up on there and restored your life. Oh, my God. Come on, would you stand with me? Oh, sweet Jesus. Man! He's right here, right where we're at. Maybe we do got some unbelief. Maybe we do got some cynicism. Maybe we are a little skeptical on some things. It's all right. He's right here. And I wonder this morning, would you allow him to touch you, connect with you? Would you allow him to take you by the hand? Take you by the hand. I would to God that he'd come this morning, just as I am fleshly, could take us by the hand, could take and reach and touch us and begin to lead us out of those unbeliefs, begin to lead us out of that discouragement, out of that depression, out of that place of hardness, out of that place of blackness. He began to lead us to a place where he can begin restoration. I wonder this morning, is anybody in here okay with what he wants to do? Are you all right? If he's in this place this morning and he's dictating to your heart right now, and he has through the course of this message, what I need to do, what he wants you to do, what he's leading in your heart, what he's leading in your life. I wonder this morning, would you be okay with it? Would you be all right with it? Maybe you're like the one like me sometimes. You're here this morning. You're here, and you're just one of them, touch me again, Jesus people. I've been made whole. I've been made right several thousand times, Jesus. But I've had a few mishaps. I've had a few fender benders. And I just need you to touch me again. I know this is a broad altar call, but I like them broad. I like to use the term whosoever and whatsoever. But whosoever should and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I believe there's restoration this morning for wherever you're at in this journey. So as Jordy plays and sings, if you're here this morning and you need restoration of any kind, whether that's being saved, whether that's being redeemed, whether that's rededicating, whether that's another touch, I just want to open this altar for the journey. It might be immediate. It might be another miracle this morning. It might be something happened right here at this altar, instantaneous, but if not, I can promise you, oh, it's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. I promise you, if you come up here led by Jesus, it's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. So I call you, please come. Please come. Please let him lead you. Give your heart, your life. Submit to everything he wants to do. Say, Lord, I'm willing. Whatever you want to do in my life. It's all the journey. It's all the journey. How about this morning? Anybody else? Boy, this altar's full. I had my eyes closed. Anybody else in here this morning? It's part of the journey. Would you come? It's part of the journey. Would you come? Hey, if you want me to come like Jesus did, maybe you need that, and you want me to come and to reach out and take your hand and lead you, I will. Is anybody like that this morning? Raise up your hand and say, preacher, I'd like for you to lead me. Anybody like that? I'll walk with you. I'll believe with you. Anybody in here? Sing something, Jordy. Let's seek his face. Let's pour our heart into it. It's part of the journey this morning. Restoration going on.